Last Sunday, July 19th, about 500 people gathered at St. Margaret of Scotland Church in Bear, Delaware, to say farewell to Bishop-elect John Barris, who, on July 30th, will be installed as the fourth bishop of the Diocese of Allentown. Bishop-elect Barris began his homily talking about a 9-day school for new bishops taking place in Rome.
I had heard about this, but I thought it was a joke. But it turns out that there is actually a new bishop school for 9 days. And you go, and different cardinals and archbishops from the various curial councils and congregations give a variety of different presentations. And I know it's going to be absolutely wonderful. But it can't match a school for bishops that's located at 1925 Delaware Avenue. The school of Bishop Robert Mulvey, the school of Bishop Michael Saltarelli, and the school of Bishop Francis Malouli. Going back to the fall of 1978, I can remember I was in a classroom in East Pine, a French class with this charming French professor, André Maman, and we were talking. He was drilling us through French grammar, and suddenly we got the news that Pope John Paul I had died, and actually we learned that Pope John Paul II was elected. And it was a time when I was hoping to make the Princeton JV basketball team, and suddenly it emerged that this great Pope was an athlete, a soccer player, a person who loved the outdoors, somebody who canoed, and also a great actor who could have easily made a career on the stage. And I remember connecting with him and being incredibly moved by his winning personality, his mysticism, his missionary spirit. And he's been with me from the very beginning, in a certain sense, Pope John Paul II. So as I kind of began to, as I got the news in late April about going to Allentown, I kind of made sense that I would go back to John Paul and his beautiful book, Arise Up and Walk, which is his meditation on his life as a shepherd, his life as a bishop. And I'll never forget a section that resonated so much with his missionary journeys, that a shepherd prays at a very deep level for the people he's meeting. Pope John Paul said he never felt that he had met too many people. And doesn't that ring true in terms of all the missionary journeys around the world? The power of his presence, the power of that holiness and mission that was so much a part of John Paul. And I'll never forget this section in the book that said that he would pray. He would, every person he met, even in a harried day, even when he was tired, he would really welcome Christ in that person. And that he said that the best investment in doing that well was to pray at a very deep level and to put prayer at the very center of all that we do. Mark 6 is a kind of a pivotal chapter in the Gospel of Mark. We see there is this very intense apostolic activity among the apostles and our Lord. And then our Lord says, come and rest for a while. And then that is the bridge into the miracle of the multiplication of loaves. And so we need to take this passage and pray it and live it in a Eucharistic key. And we know that the multiplication of loaves, there are so many things referenced. We go back to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament and the miracle of manna dropping from heaven, feeding the Israelites. Then the multiplication of loaves also vaults us forward into the Gospels, vaults us to the institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper and our Lord's sacrifice on Calvary. And so we remember this whole exhortation to come and rest for a while teaches us so deeply in our American society, So often in American society, we equate hyperactivity with productivity. But we know, as a result of Mark 6, we know as a result of the legacy of Catholic mystics, both lay mystics, religious mystics, and priest mystics, that the best investment in productivity in life is silence and really giving ourselves generously to prayer, sacrificing deeply in order to pray deeply. And we do this in a variety of different ways. We do it biblically. We know that Pope Benedict XVI has been emphasizing Lectio Divina, and I know our diocese has been emphasizing that very strongly as well. Pope Benedict challenged every Catholic around the world in the Synod in Rome last October. If every one of us engages biblically with our heart, our mind, our actions, and our imaginations, there'll be a new springtime of evangelization in our church and in our world. So that biblical Lectio Divina is so much at the core for a Roman Catholic's desire to come and rest for a while. Secondly, Eucharistic prayer. Once again, we see that Mark 6 needs to be read and prayed in a Eucharistic key. And it's always been touching with Bishop Mullooly and Bishop Saltarelli to hear them affirm the power in all their different travels around the diocese, the power of praying in our Eucharistic chapels, the power of praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It was Tolkien who said, "I put before you the one great thing to love on earth, the body and blood of Christ. There you will find true romance, true honor, true glory, and the true ways of all your loves upon earth." That last part always gets me. That our love and meditation and silence in front of the Blessed Sacrament, our realization that every Mass has a cosmic significance, that every Mass is celebrated on the altar of the world, leads us in that way that John Paul had of being able to welcome Christ in every single person that we meet. Finally, we talk about Marian prayer. When Pope John Paul II introduced the Luminous Mysteries a few years back, he emphasized that the rosary is a contemplative prayer and it's a biblical prayer. Isn't that important for us to realize? That the rosary, which sometimes can be caricatured as something that takes us away from Christ, actually places us directly into the Gospels and into the life of Christ. And that's why the rosary has been so important to just about every saint on our liturgical calendar. And so, with this whole emphasis on our Lord, come and rest a while, we open ourselves, and one of the greatest gifts we give to Christ and the Church today, one of the greatest gifts we give to our bishops, is to ask ourselves what dimension of biblical, Eucharistic, or Marian prayer do I need to rediscover? Do I need to take to a deeper level? All of us can open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to ask ourselves what it is exactly that the Lord wants us to discover about the adventure of prayer in our lives at this present moment. So let's open ourselves to the Spirit. Let's come and rest a while. And let's always realize that it's the investment in silence that really makes us productive in life, that really results in the quality and biblical-based actions that we're called to.
At the conclusion of the Mass, the pastor of St. Margaret of Scotland Parish, Father John Hopkins, said a few words of welcome and presented a beautiful crozier to Bishop-elect Barris, a gift from the priests of the Diocese of Wilmington.
Welcome to St. Margaret of Scotland. For those of you who this is your first time, hopefully it's been a positive experience. Most definitely it is. This is the first time that we've ever had three bishops in this church. Hopefully it's not the last. John, first I just want to extend to all of you in Bishop-elect Barris's name an invitation to a reception in the school hall. You must go over. We really don't want to be left with food. And as a ploy to make sure that you do go over, Bishop-elect Barris will meet you there and be available for pictures there. So give him a few moments, but he will be over. So just when you go out, go directly across the driveway and in through the front doors of the school, and the cafeteria gymnasium is just towards the back of the school. Before we do conclude, though, John, I know I speak for all of your brothers, our brothers, in thanking you for your years of service with us. I'm going to thank you most especially because I don't know who's going to take priest council minutes after this. A thankless job, and he's done it forever. So, but as a sign of our gratitude, we would like, this is given to you in the name of your brothers here in Wilmington. Now, don't get too attached to it yet, because we're taking it back. We're going to take it back and have it inscribed, and it'll simply say, from your brother priests, Diocese of Wilmington, July 19th, 2009. Thank you.
Bishop Mullooly had a few words for Bishop-elect Barris.
I hadn't planned on saying anything, but I never miss an opportunity. What Bishop Saltarelli and I have been saying all along is that Bishop-elect Barris has been an outstanding priest. He's been an outstanding collaborator with us, worked very closely in my first 10 months here with me, and for about 10 years, I guess, with Bishop Saltarelli. So 12 years. Well, you got good mileage out of him. Did a lot better than I did. The nuncio called me in April, I guess, and he said, I'm taking your chancellor. I said, you're doing what? But I was delighted, because the church at large benefits. Allentown will be very much blessed. We've been blessed for these 20 years, and so we get to share with the church at large and his special gifts, especially as a priest. He's always been a priest, and especially in relation to the sacraments. You could tell it in his homily today, with the emphasis on Eucharist, on the Scripture, on the celebration of Mary and the Rosary, just the combination of prayer and liturgy and sacraments that are so important. So we wish you God's special blessings. Your brother bishops, your brother Bishop Michael and myself do that today, and we look forward to being part of your ordination and installation.
Bishop-elect Barris then took to the ambo for some words of thanks.
Well, you know how I feel about our three bishops, so I just want to thank them. I can't even begin to thank them. As I kind of step into the role, I've found by osmosis the things that I've learned from them, and in the months ahead, I'm going to discover so many other things I've learned from them, and I'm so very grateful to all three bishops for all their support and their guidance. I want to thank my brother priests I am a priest of the Diocese of Wilmington, and these men have been in constant inspiration to me in terms of their prayer lives and their heroic pastoral charity. I wonder if our priests could stand up for just a moment. It's, as we know, the year of the priest, and it's also, we approach on August 4th, the feast day of the Curia of Ars, the patron of all priests. Remember John the 23rd saying that the Curia of Ars pushes priests to holiness, and so we ask for his intercession for all priests around the world at this Mass today. want to thank all of the women religious and men religious who have been such an inspiration to me, our permanent deacons who have been incredible. I want to thank all the diocesan staff people who are today. I've learned so much from all of you that I bring to Allentown. Finally, I want to thank the wonderful lay people here who are here today. When I think about, as I kind of look into your eyes and kind of remember the different chapters of my pastoral life as a priest, so many beautiful things come home. And I think with all our priests, we all feel that in responding to the call to vocation, that we've all hit the jackpot, that the priesthood is a wonderful life, and we're called to holiness and heroism, especially in this year of the priest, and pray for us that we can respond as deeply as we can. Our lay people here today are a constant source of inspiration. I've seen you, your holiness and mission, in so many different contexts, just in the private context of your family, some sort of difficulty, some sort of tragedy, the generosity, the deep Roman Catholic faith. I'm so grateful to you today because it's your example and the privilege of serving you that has formed in me the heart of a parish priest and formed in these great men to my left the hearts of parish priests and all sorts of wonderful pastoral artists. So thank you all, and thanks to Father Hopkins and to everyone who was involved in planning the liturgy and the reception today. Thank you.